When President Barack Obama was elected in 2008, he promised a new kind of politics and a new kind of economy.
My presidency will mark a new chapter in America's leadership on climate change that will strengthen our security and create millions of new jobs in the process.
That was then-President-elect Obama speaking in November 2008. To help create those green jobs, he called on Van Jones to join his administration. He'd worked for decades on criminal justice issues in urban communities and had turned to green technology to try to create market-driven solutions for these most entrenched social and economic challenges. Van Jones started that job in the White House about 3 years ago last month, and within 6 months, he'd resigned amidst a media storm that left him branded a radical leftist in the White House.
This guy wasn't a radical, then was arrested, spent 6 months in jails, came out a communist, then he was a communist anarchist radical, and then he decided he found the eco movement and decided green is the new red.
That was Glenn Beck back in July 2009.
Where's he today?
About a month and a half before Van Jones left his White House post. He's back. He started a new organization called Rebuild the Dream that's looking to organize and build momentum for a broad progressive agenda. And he has a new book by that name, Rebuild the Dream. Title on your name is right here, Van Jones, former special advisor to the Obama White House. And he's in studio with us this morning. Hello.
So good to be here.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
In many ways, this book tells the story of the lost promise of the Obama presidency. Hmm. Here you were back on this show when you were just a few months into that job.
The way you have the jobs of tomorrow is that you make the products of tomorrow. The products of tomorrow are advanced automobiles, advanced energy, renewable energy, wind turbines, solar panels.
Your outreach also included conservative talk shows you write about in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back to that time when you thought you could talk across these political divides in America, do you think you were a little naive? Do you think the Obama administration was a little naive in those early days in 2009?
Well, of course we were. I mean, the whole world was. I mean, November 2008, you had people here in New York City hugging and crying each other, you know, kissing strangers. So, you know, those were those good days. We did not understand how little we had. We thought, you got Barack Obama in the White House, you've got Nancy Pelosi, the best speaker ever, you got 60 votes in the Senate. We thought that was enough to govern. Turns out it was only a third of what we needed. You also have to have media like the Fox machine coordinated, and you got to have a movement in the streets like the Tea Party. Well, we didn't have a counter for Fox, and we were trying to be the nice people and not do the fight back too hard, and we didn't have a mass movement. In fact, the reverse. We had this massive movement that essentially was demobilized to, quote-unquote, support the president. So people on the left went from activism to managing access, myself included, and suddenly the hope bubble bursts. And we're face to face with the other side of the American reality, which is this long, long history of backlash politics. Now I think a lot of us are post-hope, and that is actually a good thing. The reason I wrote this book is because I looked around. I saw a large number of folks, progressives, Democrats, independents, who, you know, we're post-hope. We're not anti-Obama. We still like Obama. We want him to be president again. We don't want a Tea Party president, but we're not in love with him the way we were in 2008. And we know just reelecting the president is not enough. You got to reelect the president, but you've got to re-energize this movement. It is independent grassroots movements that made it possible for Obama to run. It was independent grassroots movement from the right initially, the Tea Party, before it got co-opted, that challenged him. It was Occupy, independent, that brought the conversation back to something that was more honest. And it's going to have to be we, the people, that make the change. We need those politicians in place who will listen to us and who can be moved. But movements do the moving. And this book, Rebuild the Dream, is about how we get our movement back.
So you're talking about Obama supporters, because I have a chapter in your book called From Hope to Heartbreak.
Yes.
I want to hear a little bit more about how you experienced that personally.
Mm-hmm.
Talk me through that experience of getting that unexpected call from the White House. Come on to Washington, join this team, and then that six-month period and then this media firestorm. What did you learn about American politics? All of a sudden seeing your face on Glenn Beck, and then it just gets amplified, and then it results in you resigning from your post.
Well, I mean, first of all, that was 2.5 years ago, so you got to remember, like, for most people, that's all they can think about me. They think about that, but, you know, just 2.5 years later, I spent a year teaching at Princeton. I wrote a book. We started this national organization called Rebuild the Dream. We are now in every congressional district, 600,000 members, one of the fastest growing groups in the country. So for me, It's a long time ago. I think for the American public, it happened just yesterday. Kind of like Lonnie Guinier. You know, you see Lonnie Guinier. Oh, Lonnie Guinier. You know, it's like it was like 20 years ago.
Still, that's a long time
ago. Exactly. A very long time ago. But, I mean, obviously it was an awful situation because I was in the Bay Area. You know, we had just started getting low-income kids of color jobs in the solar industry. Nancy Pelosi heard about it. She brought me to D.C. We got this guy named George W. Bush to sign the Green Jobs Act into law as a part of the 2008 energy bill. Bestseller just coming out. Obama read that. Boom, boom, boom. And all of a sudden, they say, hey, come to the White House. Spent 6 months working there. The best 6 months of my life, followed by the worst 2 weeks. But those 6 months, I got a chance to see up close, you know, how delicate and how fragile a democracy is, especially in a crisis. Two wars, huge economic catastrophe, all kinds of problems, which still haven't been talked about. You get to hold the country in your arms for about 6 months. And when they decided to make me the banana peel, making up stuff, you know, taking stuff out of context, and also crazy stuff I did do when I was in my 20s as a young radical, and they wanted to make that be the issue, I said, I'm not going to be the banana peel for this president. You got the first black president trying to get health care, trying to get doctors to babies. You're not going to use me. Everybody thinks I called the White House to be able to go work there. No, they called me. Everybody thinks that the White House called me and told me to resign. No, I called them and told them I was going to resign because I didn't want to be the obstacle. But it was awful. And what I and to see the information system in our country, which has been so built up and so amazing, be hijacked by liars, by smearers, by people who just wanted to do harm to this president, I realized the information system with the internet is very sophisticated, but our wisdom system is not yet. So I was one of the first people to sort of get bug zapped. Acorn got bug zapped. Then Shirley Sherrod got bug zapped. And then people woke up and they said, hold on a second. There's something going on here. So I think we're wiser now than we were 2.5, 3 years ago as a country, more sober, maybe less naive. But I don't want us to be hopeless. We can be post-hope, but not hopeless. We've just now, I think, begun to wake up to the peril to our democracy. When corporations are running more of our presidential campaigns than the candidates themselves, we got a big fight on our hands. And Rebuild the Dream, this book, this organization, if I didn't quit, after what I went through, nobody gets the right to quit. We got to keep fighting for the changes we want.
Well, this book is basically a blueprint for what you want the sort of progressive movement to do. You see a strategy and numerous fronts. Mm-hmm. And on the one hand, you're saying the Occupy Wall Street movement has been successful rhetorically changing
Very
the
much.
Conversation. It's part, you say, of what you hope to see as a broader 99% movement. But you're saying two things. You're saying, on the one hand, Occupy has failed to sort of harness their energy into electoral power.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
at the same time, you're saying President Obama getting him elected wasn't enough.
Sure.
So if you've got a group of, you know, young, fired up, post-hope folks trying to figure out what to do if they are identifying social problems they want to address, what are you to do?
Well, you get my book. That would be one thing.
Wrong answer.
No. Well, listen, I'll tell you. Here's the thing about what I try and do in the book, honestly, is I try to look at the good and the bad of the big waves we've just seen. We saw the Obama wave come out of nowhere and topple the Clinton thing, topple the McCain thing. I study that. I look at that. Then we saw the Tea Party come and put Obama in check. That seemed to come out of nowhere. Studied that. Didn't look like we were going down this austerity road of more pain, more cuts. And then Occupy came and changed the conversation and stopped the super committee. They didn't even get the credit for it, but the super committee got stopped by the fact of Occupy. Super committee was going to devastate every program in America. So they have had huge victories. The question is, how do you go forward? So I look at all three of those phenomena. My argument going forward is that you've got to have two sources of leadership. You got to have politicians in office who are on your side. You can't say, I'm not going to vote anymore. I'm so heartbroken. No, put the people in place. If you had George Bush in place and you had a couple of million people in the streets, he wouldn't listen to you. Put Obama in place with the Keystone fight, with Occupy. You see, he will listen. But we've also got to have that movement in the streets, peaceful, nonviolent, but also with an agenda going from anger to answers. And the book is about what are some of the answers we can begin to fight for.
All right. Great on the book.
Sure.
And you look fabulous. Your articulation is spectacular and your enthusiasm is infectious. Is radical still a dirty word? And are you a radical?
I tell you what, if radical means going to the root of the problem, I'm going to the root of the problem. The root of the problem right now is the worst of the 1% screwing over the 99%. Let's be for the 99% for the 100%. Everybody's got to be a part of the solution.
That's Van Jones, author of Rebuild the Dream and former special advisor to the Obama White House. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.